before I hand this over to Cliff, I just want to thank every single family member of the River House, especially those that have been with us from the beginning. We started this church not even living here. We were living in Raleigh, and we started in Claire's living room. We weren't even planning on planting a church. We just started getting together. And she wasn't inviting anybody. We didn't know anybody. We literally did not invite anybody. It's not really, you know, a church planting strategy that you're going to find in a book. But God had other purposes. He had other plans, and he began making it clear that he's doing something amongst us and that he wanted a family that represents his culture planted in this city. And I just want to tell each and every one of you that have been with us on this journey, it's because of you. It's because of your faithfulness. It's because of your faith. It's because of your covenant that you've made to walk with us that we are even here today in this building. And we have really exciting things to come. We're just getting started. So from the bottom of my heart, I just want to say thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Yeah, give them a hand. Give yourself a hand. All right, we have been really, really blessed to have Cliff and the team. This is David and Michael, and we had a gal named Kim who had to leave and go home last night, was with us, and they've been such a blessing to us. And Cliff, would you come on up, and we want to pray for you real quick and give you co-reign with Jesus to do what you and he want to do today. You want some? Do those fit you? I don't think they match your shirt. They don't match your shirt. All right, stretch out your hands to Cliff. Father, thank you, thank you, thank you for your son. Thank you for your son. Thank you for the servant that he is. He's your humble servant. And Father, we open our heart to receive from your authority that you have chose to represent to you today in healing. We thank you for what you're going to do. We bless you, Lord. We love you. And we bless your son in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before I get started, I want the pastor to start a song that is dedicated to this teaching. So if you want to go ahead and get that started. Yeah. La, 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 la.
It's creeping over. It's happening slowly. There we go.
Lord, I'm desperate for your power. I need a miracle. Lord, I'm desperate for your touch. I need a miracle. Heaven's floor is shaking.
Yeah, the whole message is in that song. Well, I want to tell you that it was a great privilege when I found out that this was your dedication Sunday to this building, and that I got to, and we got to, as a team, got to come and minister to you the truths of the Word of God. How many here that were here this weekend were touched by the Lord? Look at the hands. Praise God. He is faithful. He is faithful. Well, Father, we thank you for your word that is absolutely the truth. There is no shadow in it, Lord. Just like there's no shadow in you. You are pure light, and this word has pure light in it. I ask, Lord, that you open the ears of the understanding and the hearts to receive, for the transforming of the minds to wash out all the lies of the enemy. And Satan, I come against you right now, and I bind you. I bind your lies that sickness is a part of life. In Jesus' name. Well, my name's Cliff Slater. I go to the fire church in Concord, North Carolina. I'm actually from Ohio, born and raised there. And I've been a Christian since 1971, or early 72. And the Lord has just started me in my walk and calling in my life. I'm 68 years old. And we've been running the healing rooms for about 4 years, coming up on 4 years next month. I went to Bible school. You know, I didn't know what the Lord was doing. He just called me to Bible school. Didn't know what that meant after I got out. What was I going to do? And I'm sure some of it was I was being disobedient to his calling. Wasn't hearing. Wasn't following. But I believe that there's a design day. And it was this year or 3 years ago that I started walking on the path he had for me. Recently, the Lord has told me to start hitting the streets and coming to fellowships and Bibles or churches to share the truths that I've been devouring for all these years. So again, I find it a privilege that you are the first body of Christ that I have done this outside of our own church. But he is faithful. And I just totally rely on him. This message today is to instill in us. Now let me stop right now. I want to explain something. I'm a teacher more than I'm a preacher. So I will lay precept upon precept, scripture upon scripture, without very much in between. And you'll come to the understanding of the truth through listening to the Word of God spelled out along as we go, okay? But we have an inheritance that God gave us through Christ. Christ gave us access to it through the torn veil. And what we're talking about today is destroying the work of the enemy. Get your Bibles out. There are three scriptures that have the word destroy in them that I want to talk about. And they have different Greek definitions for each one of the scriptures. The first one is John 10:10. The thief cometh not, but to steal, kill, and destroy. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Now, when you put the Greek definition of that word destroy in a sentence, it would read like this. The thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and without conscious thought, cause us to perish, lose, and die. The second one's in 1 John 3:8, the B part. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Again, it would read like this. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested that he might break up the works of the devil. Sounds like somebody just got their head crushed. The third one is Hebrews 2:14. Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he, Jesus, also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Again, it would read like this, that through death he might make of no effect him that had the power of death, That is the devil. Now, I think it was yesterday, I shared this about the word effect. I always had trouble between the word effect and affect. What was the difference? The word effect, I'm going to draw you a picture. There's a street in India, and all the cars are trying to go through the intersection at the same time. You've seen the videos of it on whatever, news or whatever. Just chaos, okay? Well, somebody in the rulership of the city said, we got to do something about that. Let's make a law. And let's put stop signs up. The effect, that was the effect of what they saw. The effect of what they saw is the car stopped. So there's an effect, the law, the effect, the obedience to the law. Okay? Again, that scripture says that through death he might make no effect in of no effect him that had the power of death, that is the devil. That tells me that God went all the way back and took away the effect of the devil, the chaos of him. Jesus continues this destruction of the enemy's work through his body today. You and I. Jesus said in John 14, 12, greater works than these will we do. So we have the authority over all the power of the enemy. There has to be a shift in the way that we think about sickness and disease. I'm talking about the authority of the body of Christ over it through Jesus. We can use that authority and power to destroy sickness. Jesus did it all the time. But not only destroy sickness, but live a life of divine health. In 2 Corinthians 10:4, we are told that we have authority to pull down and destroy strongholds. Those words, pull down, mean demolition. It's time to destroy and demolition the works of the enemy. God wants us to have that revelation and attack the enemy with it. He is trying to put poverty, sickness, and death on the bride of Christ, and it's time for it to stop. We know that God said in Galatians 3:13, Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming the curse for us. Redeemed here means that he paid the price to set someone free. Jesus' blood, Jesus' pain, Jesus' suffering, and his life was the currency used to redeem us. Now, I had a vision one time, or a dream, and I was in this country store. When I grew up in this neighborhood, and there was always this, I call it the candy store, but it had other things in it. You know, we walked by with our 5 cents, we bought $5 worth of bubble gum, you know. I mean, they were amazing. And they had everything in them, okay, everything you needed in those little stores. And in this dream, I saw myself, and I was in the store, and I got what I needed. I picked up the things that I wanted. And I went up to the counter to pay for them. And out of the back, I hear this voice that said, I got this. And I stood there and I looked around and it was Jesus. And he said, with a big smile on his face, he said, I got this. I said, well, okay. I picked up my stuff and walked back to the back of the store. And I watched other people come up with their arms full of stuff they needed and wanted. Some of them, Jesus, every one of them, no matter what they looked like, said, I got this. Some of them received that and took their stuff. Some of them laid their own cash down. They wouldn't receive. 2 weeks later, I go into McDonald's and I drive up to the window. You know, I order my stuff, really healthy food, as you can tell. Thanks. I needed that. But I go up to the window and the cashier says, the person in front of you have already paid for your breakfast. Here it is. Man, I tell you, the Holy Spirit just started flooding and said, yeah. Yeah. Jesus took it. He paid for it. It's already mine. It's already mine. All I have to do is receive it and go on. You've heard the term, pay it forward. I mean, you got examples at Walmart where some rich guy paid for everybody's layaways, you know. Well, that's what happened. Just like Jesus, he paid it forward to us. He redeemed us. Is sickness part of what he redeemed us from? Yes. Christ bought it. He has paid for all our sicknesses, sins, past, present, and future. I won't get into that other teaching. Going clear back to Adam. Isaiah 53, verses 4 through 7. It says, surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. It goes on, and with his wounds we are healed. Those are our all present tense things. When you go to the great cash register in the sky through prayer, and when you get rung up in front of the throne, all you have to do is show them the bill that says paid in full, written in the blood of Jesus Christ with his name. All we have to do is turn to Jesus and ask him to redeem us. That's what many of you did down here this morning. And what does he say? I got this. Matthew 8:17 says, he took our illnesses and bore our diseases. When Jesus saw the man with the withered hand or whoever else he came upon, he said, I got this. And they went away whole. We have to realize Satan is the father of lies. The word lie means to make an untrue statement with the intent to deceive you. It's time we destroy and put under our feet the deceiver. One of God's names is Jehovah Rapha. Rapha means to restore, to heal, or to make healthful. In other words, Jehovah who heals the entire being, body, mind, soul, and spirit. So if sickness and disease raises its name against God's name, healer, in your life, it's like making God's name of having no effect over you, not producing the desired result. A lie has replaced the truth. Faith in the truth is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So if we are believing the lie, it becomes truth to us. A false truth, its evidence in our life, has overcome the truth of God's word that you
are healed. Satan wants our belief system to line up with what comes out of him. Kill, steal, and destroy. A curse that we have been redeemed from. Satan wants us to believe what he is doing instead of believing what Jesus did. Now let's go to Jonah 2:8. Touching your phone. Those who pay regard to false, useless, and worthless idols forsake their own source of mercy and loving kindness. When we focus on the lie, we forsake our mercy. We become less reliant on God's mercy and more ensnared in fear. Satan's lies produce fear. The doctor comes in and gives us a bad report. Now, my wife, I've shared this over the weekend, but my wife got very ill, very weak. We were in the mall, and we said, we're taking you to the hospital. The first thing they thought was heart attack, something wrong with her heart. They ran every test that hospital had in it on her heart. Bottom line, the doctor came back and says, well, it must have been a glitch. We can't find anything wrong. But we want to run more tests. So over the time we were in the hospital and over weeks after that, they ran liver tests, kidney tests, blood tests, this test, that test. Everything that the doctors were suspecting came back. There's nothing there. The final test was a test for cancer. They did all the blood work. They called us into the office. Meanwhile, when all this was going on, my wife diligently was in her bedroom or in an extra bedroom with her office in it. And she got on the internet and she got, it's called God's Medicine by Kenneth Hagin. It's an audio, and he just proclaims healing scriptures for about an hour and 20 minutes, hour and 40 minutes, over and over and over again. She wrote, handwritten, all those scriptures out. It took her days, and she proclaimed them over herself. And of course, we all prayed for her. So we went into that doctor's office. The doctor sat down with the paper in front of her and said, this is not the report I thought I would be giving you. You are cancer-free. Praise God. She lived in victory in the word. She placed that word in rule over the curse that was being spoken over her. Fear tries to come in and replace the faith. Now, if she would have gotten fearful and received the doctor's report, she would have had that disease. But the grace of God. But Isaiah says this, the Spirit of the Lord shall rise up a standard against him, against the enemy. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 John 5:9, the witness of God is greater. John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. What part of this isn't the church living in? Aren't you living in? What part of the blood of Jesus are we going to leave out of salvation? If you found a golden nugget, you know, walking along a path and you see something and you just kicked it, well, that looks like gold. You know, and you took a shovel and you started digging it up and it was a pretty good sized chunk. Well, would you chop off some of it and take it and leave the rest in the ground? None of us would do that. So what part of the body of Christ wasn't resurrected to us, didn't give us victory? What part of the blood that he spilled? Which stripe wasn't for you? We are allowing the sickness to have authority over us. We are told to walk by faith, but not by sight. Not in the lie. We're told to walk in the truth. Faith requires us to move in the truth that will destroy the lie. The Lord showed me this in an illustration. I was in a room, and I was in the corner, and a stack of Bibles from the floor to the ceiling was on the other side of the room. And in between me and that stack of Bibles was this darkness. It was a shadow that was deep and dark. They all represented the attacks of the enemy against me. They were all things that were opposed to the truth. Matthew 6:4 says, "No one can serve two masters." So while I was in this room, I realized that God's word was the truth, and all the stuff in the middle represented the curse that Jesus took to the cross, and that I had to choose which one I was going to serve, which one I was going to allow to rule in my life. And the other thing I realized is that lie was just a shadow. It was deep. It was dark. It separated me from the truth. But you know what I did in that room? I walked right through it to the truth. It had no substance against the truth. The curse has sickness in it. The truth has redeemed me, redeemed you from the curse. So why aren't we living a cursed-free life? Why are we sick when Jesus bore it for us? The truth is you have been redeemed, and no longer are we servant to the sickness under the blood of Jesus. The doctor confirms it, so our belief system will accept it. Why should we bear what Jesus already bore for us? God wants us to know that. That's the truth. And everything that comes out of the enemy's camp is empty until we fill it up, till we give it substance. Faith is a substance of things hoped for. We give substance to a lie, and that becomes a reality. We fill it up with doubt and unbelief and ignorance from the truth. The first thing I wrote here was, and I just filled this in today, we fill it up with doubt and belief, but I had to include ignorance. See, the enemy is a tempter who uses symptoms to tempt us into accepting what he is doing that has no fullness in it. Is the power of the good report greater than the power of the bad report? Reality is not what is done in a natural realm. Reality is what comes out of, isn't what comes out of the enemy's camp. Reality is what comes out of God's kingdom. That's why greater is he that's in you than he that comes against you. That's why he says in John 8:32, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth will set you free." So if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. We need to get this into our deceived minds. I love the fact that you guys are teaching a class on, you know, the renewing of the mind, transforming of the mind. So you have that freedom knowing that it's never the will of God for you to be sick. Believe that. It is never. It can't be the will of God for you to be sick. That's not his nature. That's not what he's made up of. Pure love would not want sickness to come upon you. It's a lie. We are not supposed to live under any part of the curse, because his son Jesus came to destroy it. It's that crushing of the head. When we accept the bad report, then we come down to the level of the enemy, and then we have to fight on his terms. Rather than focusing on an enemy, we need to focus on God and his word. 1 Peter 2:24 says, "By his wounds we are healed." Romans 6:13, "Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God and those who have been brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to him as an instrument of righteousness." Sickness is an instrument of wickedness and sin. When you give yourself over to sicknesses, you become its slave. A slave to a lie against God's word. The reward of righteousness is health. Put on righteousness. Psalms 103, verses 1 through 5. "Praise the Lord, my soul, all my inmost being. Praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, my soul, and forget not all his benefits." Don't forget your inheritance. The curse has been broken through Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son. Don't forget his benefits, who forgives all your sins, all your sins, all your sins. I was a wicked sinner. Other than murdering somebody, I did some stuff that was just as ugly as that. And I probably murdered some people with my tongue. I was vile. I came to the Lord in a little Pentecostal church, probably congregation about this size. And I was just ready. I'd never been in a church like that. I hadn't been in a church in a long time. I went there with my wife. I'm sitting there. And during the sermon, I heard God in my heart say, "I am the Lord your God." And instantly I saw all the blackness of my soul. But up front at that altar, I saw light. And I grabbed my wife's, and she wasn't ready, but I grabbed my wife's hand, and I drug her down that altar with me. And I received the Lord as my Savior from all things, from all that darkness. He redeemed your life from the pit and the crowns, and crowns you with love and compassion. He satisfies and your desires with good things so that your youth will be renewed like eagles. The truth, when it gets inside you, will destroy the lie. The battle is in the mind. The mind needs to be renewed. Wash it with the word. See, unbelief is believing the lie. That's all it is. You don't believe the truth. You believe the lie. When we line up with the lie, we line up with the natural realm. We lose our power because we're on even ground with the enemy. When all along he's supposed to be under our feet, and all that he offers, all of his lies. We're not supposed to be eye to eye with him. He's supposed to be under our feet. Isaiah 54:17 says, no weapon that is formed against us will succeed, and every tongue that raises against you in judgment, you will condemn through the word of God. Psalms 18:21, there is death and life in the power of the tongue. Resist the word that you are sick. 1 Corinthians 6:19 through 20 says, Do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is within you? 2 Corinthians 6:16, and what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God. As God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Sickness is an idol, and it has become the belief system, if you have given it a belief platform in your life. See, the difficulty we're having is that we don't get serious about the problem until we have it. When we have it, there's a stronghold existing in us that we have to tear down. You're going to tear it down through the blood of Christ and the word of testimony, the truth. Don't allow the enemy to create a stronghold in you. It's a stronghold when we agree with the enemy. It will bind you up. It will tie you up. It will mess your life up. God's will for us is that we don't have sickness at all, at all, at all. Stop being sick. You don't need to be. Sometimes we act like the promises of God are not for us at any given moment. Sometimes we act like we have to take ownership of sickness, disease, and death and poverty, or anything else that comes under the curse. We say, well, that's just part of life. Whose life are you living? The doctor says, it has to be so. You know, he says, I'm sick. This is the report. It must be so. Does Jesus have sickness? Are we in Christ? So why do we have sickness then? Who are you agreeing with? Are we a kingdom divided amongst ourselves? Luke 11:17 says, every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, will fall. A dividing household falls. God gives us armor for one reason, that you may be able to stand against all the schemes of the devil, all of his power. If you take that armor off, the devil's going to be firing right at you. So keep it on daily. Now, if you don't have the armor on today, put it on. Today's a new day. A new day. Yesterday has passed. Don't give it any power. Start your day today, a new day, in the promises of God. A lack of knowledge gives place to our enemy. God says, Hosea 4:6, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. They don't know what the truth is. When we believe the lie, then we empower it into existence, because what we believe, we receive. When sickness exists in us, we have been invaded by the enemy. You agree with that? And it is more difficult to reject it from our body because it's become a stronghold. Because then we have a stronghold that we have to overcome as well. Truth will always deny the lie. As long as our belief system is in the truth that God said that I am healed, no weapon of sickness formed against me can prosper. That truth is yes and amen. Ever since we have had opened the healing rooms, I shared this weekend, when I started opening healing rooms, I was attacked constantly, 24/7. I'm talking about in my sleep. I was attacked with sicknesses. I would feel this, sense this, think this, see this. Dumb commercials about medicine having side effects. I mean, everything. It was 24/7. It was relentless. But what I do about it? Well, let me explain it this way. I recognized that it was a temptation to be sick. Those little fiery darts were temptations to receive what I was feeling or thinking. It was a temptation. So what I do, I lifted up my shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit and attacked the enemy. It's a full-time armor. It's an offensive armor. God said, so shall my word be as it goes out of my mouth. It will accomplish that what I purpose and succeed in the thing which I sent it. This kingdom reality is not a natural reality. Kingdom reality is greater force than the natural reality. The truth that we are healed by the stripes of Jesus is a greater reality. 1 John 4:4, little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he is in the world. Romans 8:31, if God is for us, who can be against us? We need to live in that reality. That's the reality. We need to stop taking weapons from the devil. Why should we allow anything from the enemy's camp to have a hand on us? We are seated with Christ, Ephesians 2:6, and raised us up with him and seated us with him in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. What's the heavenly places like? Is there sickness in heaven? No. Is there disease in heaven? No. Is there poverty in heaven? No. So when Jesus taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, this must mean that God does not want us to be sick, diseased, poor, broken, lost, or defeated. You know, I shared over the weekend that the Lord gave me a revelation, and I can use you as an example, that man in Genesis was created out of the dust of the earth, right? So we are, and when we die and decay, we return to the dust of the ground. The Lord said, and I use this in my prayer many times, I said, it says, thy kingdom come on this earth. Thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. That's your stand. That's your promise. That's the provision. That's your inheritance. The penalty has been paid. The receipt is Jesus. He became our sin. He became our sickness. He gave us life and life more abundantly. He is complete, and he has made us complete. He has filled us with his fullness. Colossians 2:8-10 in the Passion Bible says this, beware that no one distracts you or intimidates you in their attempt to lead you away from Christ's fullness by pretending to be full of wisdom when they're filled with endless arguments and human logic. For they operate with humanistic and clouded judgments based on the mindset of this world system and not the anointed truths of the anointed one. That's kind of like a doctor giving you the truths of what he has learned. And we have to come against it with the truths of God's word. So we are completely filled with God as Christ's fullness overflows within us. He is the head of every kingdom and authority in the universe. Slaves to sin makes us slaves to the curse. We have dominion over the curse. It no longer has any authority over us. Our inner man, our spirit man, needs to be renewed to the truths of these things. 2 Corinthians 4:6, so we do not lose heart. Though our outer self is wasting away, getting old, our inner self is being renewed day by day. Ephesians 4:23, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds and put on the new self created after likeness of God. He's not sick, in the true righteousness and holiness. What is it that God has said in Genesis? Let us make man in our image, in our likeness. Stay there. That's who you are. Colossians 3:10. We have put on a new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of our Creator. This renewing of the mind will reveal to us God not only can heal our sickness, but He can provide divine health. I haven't been sick for 4 years. Not a sniffle, not a cough, not a sore throat, nothing, because I've put on the armor of God, and I live there. But it's not me. By the grace of God. We can live in divine health because that's what's in heaven. There is no sickness in Jesus. There is no sickness in the promises of God. His will is health. If Jesus can walk up to a fig tree and upon discovering it, that it didn't have anything to offer him, he cursed it to die. And it died. We should look at the curse that way. We should look at sickness that way or anything from the enemy. Refusing it to live, we need to wash our minds of the lies of the enemy, the lies that he has told us. Many times we wait for the attack before we apply the word. We wait until we have a stronghold in our lives before we apply. We can live in the promises every day that we take a breath. It's best to attack the enemy before he launches his missiles. We are to speak to the natural things, the laws of the spiritual truths of God, and that he has provided us. It's our inheritance. But the victory of the cross is much deeper than salvation of sins. The victory of the cross is for our total deliverance from the curse. We can live in the sick-free zone by living in the promises, the promise-filled word of God. The truth will set you free if you believe. That's the key. God says in Hebrews 11:6, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and is a rewarder of those that seek him. Seek him. Seek him, people. Seek him. We need to turn our faith loose. Our faith loose. The point of contact with God's word is our faith. Believe. The woman with the issue of blood knew that when she touched the hem of his garment, of Jesus' garment, that she would be healed of the disease she carried for 12 years. 12 years. How did she believe? Well, she had heard stories about Jesus, maybe even saw him in the villages around about her. How does faith come then? Faith comes by the word, God's word. Reading it, hearing it. Seeing it. So how are we to respond today? How are you going to respond today? You need to surrender to him. Lord just recently showed me this, and it won't be long off the subject. But faith is made up of surrendering, and your anticipation. Surrendering and your anticipation. The woman and many people in the Bible that got healed by Jesus called him Lord. You know, Master. The centurion recognizes Jesus' authority and bowed to it. And his expectancy was just say the word. Jesus has said the word to us. So we need to surrender to him and come with expectancy. Let him be who he is, Jehovah Rapha, the God who heals. Today we need to stand on the word of God. God says in James 5, verses 14 and 15, is any among you sick? I want the worship team come up, just play in the background. He says, is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. Now I want to take a second. When I read this, I want you to receive it. This is an instruction from God for you to be healed. Okay? It's a promise. A promise. A promise. It's a word that cannot return to him void, but it goes out and accomplishes what he sends it out to do. And it's always his will to heal you. Always. Always. Now, some people die that we love. I understand that we have prayed for, and they die in, you know, of a horrendous death or whatever. That doesn't mean God allowed it. It doesn't mean God did it. God is there to receive him because he was killed by something that was in the curse. They died of something they shouldn't have died from, because God didn't create any of that stuff. It came from the camp of the enemy, and it attached itself to that loved one. They didn't choose that. It wasn't their fault in many cases. Yeah, sure, we abuse our body, and sometimes we reap what we sow. But you can stop that right here today by receiving the promise of a God that can't lie. It's not in him to lie. There is no shadow in God. There's no little part of him said, well, I'm just going to heal this person, this person, this person, and this person. I have to skip you and you and you, because I'm going to take you from a heart attack. I'm going to take you with cancer. I'm going to take you in a car accident. No. He can't decide that way. That's not pure love. That's not who he is. Now, we've talked about that this weekend, that God cannot come against you in a way that is opposite of his word. His word is yes and amen, and it's for every man, woman, and child that has ever been born, from Adam to the last baby that's ever born. When the curse was broken, Jesus on the cross died right then and there. He broke the curse, and in order to do that, he had to go all the way back to the beginning and destroy the enemy. He destroyed the curse that was right there. He crushed it. And God gave us his word, his promise. Now this is the promise. Is any among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church. The elders, come forth. The people I want to line up here, the ones I want to pray. Let them call for the elders of the church and let them pray over them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which has name. His name is above all names. I don't care what you have, what happened to you. His name, if you place it there, is above whatever's wrong with you. He is Lord of all little L lords. He is capital K, over all the little K's of kings. Make him, give him that throne. Stop giving the throne to the sickness. Because then it becomes like an idol. You've raised it up above the name of the Lord, the name of healer, the name of lover. He loves you so much. Raise the name of Jesus over that. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick. And the Lord will raise him up, her up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. So, Father, I thank you for your word, your truth that sets the captives free. These people are captive, Lord, and they want to be set free. They've been ensnared with the lie of the enemy that has raised his head, has raised his lies over their lives. It's time for the church to stand, resist the devil. He has to flee. There's no ifs, ands, and buts about it. That's a promise. So resist the devil, and he has to flee. So, Father, we thank you for your love and your grace that has paid the price. All of your blood was spilt, Jesus. Every drop had power over everything of the enemy. And Lord, we place that, your word, the effect of your word, in effect in our lives. And we tell the devil right now, stop. We resist you. The word of God says, whatever we bind on earth has been bound in heaven. The actual translation would read like this: whatever we bind on earth has already been bound in heaven, because Jesus sits on the right hand of the Father in victory, in authority over all things. The scripture goes on and says, whatever we loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Thy kingdom come on this earth, Lord, as it is in heaven. Loose heaven on earth. That is the gospel of the kingdom. So today, Lord, we thank you that you've touched people's hearts with your truth, and your truth will set them free. Your truth will set you free. God's truth will set you free. Be obedient to the word. Come down here. We'll anoint you with oil. We'll pray the prayer of faith. We'll agree with God's word that he is not a man that he can lie. He can't lie. He can't lie. Because he is pure love. And he only has what's best for you in his mind, in his heart. And that doesn't include sickness. So let's get rid of it. Your job is to believe, receive, and stand. Don't give the devil a throne. So come on down if you want prayer, and we'll pray for you.